Welcome to the Vocal Lab Podcast with your hosts, Shelby Rollins and Jason Catrone, bringing you the best from the music industry. Get ready for first-class conversations packed with exclusive techniques and transformative insights, all designed to help you reach your top note. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's version of the Vocal Lab Podcast. I'm Jason Catrone.
I'm Shelby Rollins.
And we are here, Shelby.
We're here again. Here we are.
Here once again. Hey, I'm really excited about today's topic because
me too.
I think it is one of the most important aspects of an artist's career, not only an artist's career, just of the human self.
Yes.
I'm loading this big time.
Yeah. Well, you got to build it up.
Yeah.
You know?
The build up. What is it?
Authenticity.
Wow. That's deep.
Ooh.
We could probably talk for 20 days about this topic.
For sure.
But we're going to hold it to about 20 minutes for you today.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to this one often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a common thread that will be woven throughout a lot of our conversations that we have with our guests as well, because everybody knows how important this is to an artist's career. And I think it's something that artists get and then don't get simultaneously, because everybody wants to create an authentic sound. You know, everybody wants to have this unique expression of their art into the world, but nobody really knows how to do that.
Well, and even deeper than that, it's like, how often on the daily are we trying to remind ourselves of how to just be authentically ourselves? Because all the social norms and social media is everything are pulling us into something that's not truly who we are, because we're enticed by all that.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that we fall in love with artists that are most authentic to who they are and that we most authentically relate with.
Yeah.
That's why you love whoever.
Yeah.
Right. Who's one of your favorite artists? I forget. Like Patty Griffin.
Patty Griffin. Oh, yeah.
Patty Griffin. I know you're a big Wallen fan. You're
you're
both like Whitney's and Celine's. Like,
oh my gosh.
There's part of that's because we identify vocally with some of those artists, especially like, Shelby and I love great singers.
Yeah.
So it makes sense if you name a great singer like a Celine or a Whitney or a Kelly Clarkson, we're going to be like, oh yeah, we're in that.
Yeah.
We'll go to any show.
All in.
Yeah. We'll work with anything.
I saw
Celine.
I saw Celine in Vegas. When she was doing her residency.
I saw her one
like
time,
5 years ago.
No, I saw her twice. Oh.
I cried like 4 times. I was also really pregnant, so there's maybe a little bit of
reason, I was not pregnant and I cried. I think the common thread there, she can make you cry.
She's a
queen. She is a queen who is authentically herself.
Yes.
Back to what we're talking about today. You know, when you see or hear Celine, you get Celine.
Yeah. And
thick
if you,
and through, and she's
not afraid.
You don't
have to know her songs to understand or to recognize her voice. So you'll hear a song, maybe you've never heard it. I don't know how you wouldn't have never heard one of her songs. But if you somehow didn't know what the song was, you could hear her singing it and be like, that is Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Because she has what you call what?
A vocal thumbprint.
Yep. That's just you. Nobody, if you weren't watching, I was holding up my thumb. The vocal
That's
thumbprint.
Our new sign
Everybody's
our
got...
sign on and sign off.
Jason was the first person to say this that I ever heard phrase it this way, of having your own unique vocal thumbprint, because everybody talks about, you know, everybody's thumbprint or fingerprints in general are unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
No two people have the same fingerprint,
which is fascinating.
It is,
right?
So fascinating.
And no two singers have
have the same voice, even like twins.
There's similarities, and
yeah,
and obviously we all grew up singing like certain people, listening to certain people, and we pick up influences, but it's still uniquely you. That's what Shelby and I do at the deepest level.
Yeah.
Is, you know, a lot of people, and we were just joking before this podcast, about how, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't understand what we do. When we say we're vocal coaches, because that's the easiest thing, we're out at a dinner, we're at a party, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Casual conversation. What do you do? I'm a vocal coach. And you can see in people's eyes often, they're like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Like, I have a 4-year-old. Is it too soon?
Yeah.
For Shelby and I, yes, because we're not inexpensive. We'll say it that way with what we do. But it's also, there are people who start at the basic levels who don't charge as much. That's perfect for a young child.
Yeah.
So, but it's just back to the point. It's like people automatically assume like what we do is just at a basic foundational fundamental level.
Yeah, like
and the level
teach music.
And we can do that, But where we shine through our experience and mentorship and everything else is to really go deep with an artist, not only help them find balance and healthy technique in their voice, but to really help the artist understand who they truly are at the deepest level of self, their true authentic self. And in that process, give them the courage and confidence to be vulnerable and honest with that authentic self, and then let the world see it. And that's when they can start to really build fan base. That's when the people latch on to them. And hopefully you can be a Celine or a Stevie or a Michael or whoever you dream to be that you've looked up to. You've fallen in love with all those major artists primarily because there was such a huge level of authenticity and vulnerability to who they are.
Yeah.
And so that's a deep loaded topic that we're going to like dabble in today a bit. Like I said, we're going to keep coming back to it, but it's really, I believe, would you agree with me? It is what we do best as coaches.
Yeah. Which is why you and I both have honestly, very organically and unintentionally moved into artist development.
Yes.
As well as vocal coaching. I didn't even know I was doing that for years until I actually interacted with people doing artist development as their primary title. And I'd listen and be like, I've been doing that for like 10 years, but I didn't call it that. Like, I didn't ever label it. And then I realized people were charging for that. And it's just always been a part of my coaching.
You know what's really interesting about that is about 7 years ago, one of my good friends, done a lot of business with him in Norway, career musician, his name's Rolf. We, for, I guess, 5 years, we did a big music expo in Oslo and some writing camps. Really some great things that we did about 5 years there, really sparking the collaborative spirit in Norway, which is crazy to look back on and think now that we had a hand in the early days of that.
Yeah.
But
it's really cool.
He, from the very beginning, I remember that first trip because he brought me over to coach a workshop. He was like, you know what? You should not call yourself a vocal coach.
Ooh, what was his title for you?
You should call yourself an artist developer.
Oh.
Because he saw what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, it's just so easy to label what we do as a vocal coach because it speaks, people get it, right?
And our culture loves labels.
And love labels.
To put in each other in boxes.
But if you do get deeper, it is really the artist development. It's developing self. It is, it's coaching 101 from the person to the mental, the spiritual, the physical, the style, all of it.
Have you ever felt like a therapist in a vocal session?
Yeah, I mean.
Totally.
There are times in sessions, you know, you'll just turn off the keyboard and just talk about what's going on in life and the tears roll.
Yeah.
And my clients get really awkward because I'm always just like breaking down on them. But no, I'm just
get it together, Jason. No, actually, I think that's also why we have, why it's such a tethered concept. I think the voice is deeply spiritual, right? I've said 100%. For years that I believe that singing, specifically as an art form, is the most intimate, vulnerable art form that there is.
Yes.
Because it is, your instrument is in your body. It is, whether or not you're a singer or an instrumentalist or nothing musical at all, people are often self-conscious about their voice.
Your voice is the only instrument. Whether, and that could be a dental tool, if you're a dentist. Like, whatever your instrument is that you do to do your life, it's the only instrument directly connected to the psyche.
Yeah.
It never leaves us.
And the
that
only one
changes
that,
the game completely.
Yeah, it does. And it's the only one that's not man-made.
Ooh.
Isn't that fascinating
good too.
To think about? Like every other musical instrument is everything's man-made except your voice. Your voice is created.
That's
right?
Deep.
And it's in it's
so
just
good.
A part of you. So like it or not, it is inseparably linked to your identity for better or worse.
Yeah.
And so when people are when you're dealing with the human voice and what we do, we deal with that very directly, very physiologically speaking directly. We and I've never taken this for granted. I feel like I've always recognized with I think humility that somebody is entrusting me with the most vulnerable part of them.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That in terms of how it's externalized, how your soul, your spirit is externalized in communication to other people, which is life, right?
And it's why
so
a lot
that's
of
people. A big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's why a lot of people won't come in and even do a vocal session.
Oh, yeah.
Or
there's
think
a
they
lot
don't
of
need it,
that.
Or they like sweat. Like, I mean, there's
and
all
we,
kinds
that
of
that is
ways.
One of the biggest obstacles as vocal coaches that we we encounter. Yeah, is the reality of people having to put themselves out there and be extremely vulnerable with us, who probably we were a stranger before the first vocal session occurred, or in many cases we are, that they're having to put their trust of something that's incredibly valuable to them, even when they don't have language to say this, but it is unspokenly very important to them, that they're putting that into our hands. And we, Jason and I, are both very, very intentional with how we train a voice and how we care for that and nurture that, because we recognize it's a big deal, because we've been there too.
Yeah.
We've been the student. And I feel like one of the reasons that we can go that deep, and you know, you were talking about, we don't anymore work with kids. I work with my own kid, but I used to, the youngest I think I've ever coached early in my career was like 8 years old. And that's I have an 8 year old at the time of this recording. I have an 8 year old child, and I don't think I would probably have him sit down in front of a Skype screen at the time where I was teaching lessons online, which I still do, but via Skype. I can't believe that I had people do that with me. But some of my longest term clients, actually, I started when they were that young. But we don't teach kids that are that young. But because of the work that we've done as our own artistic selves personally, when we have pursued artistry for ourselves, we had to do this work. We had to find our voice. And my biggest breakthroughs came on some of those more deeper levels. Like, I had vocal technique breakthroughs for sure that, oh my gosh, look, I can sing in my mixed voice, my power belting zone, or whatever you want to call it, which, you know, we'll talk about down the road, because some of the techniques and stuff, to sort of give a little bit of, you know, an understanding of what we teach pedagogy wise. But like, the biggest breakthroughs that I had, and the things that I share the most with students, with artists that I work with, are those more emotional, mental breakthroughs that came as a result of figuring out who I really was as an artist and as a human. And that made me authentic. Those are the things that made me realize that it wasn't just woo-woo stuff.
Right.
It was real things that enabled me to sing better, like literally sing technically better, artistically better, because I found a deeper place of authenticity.
And that's the main point. When you find that deep level of authenticity, you're going to be better at your art.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
That's why we do it. That's why we're doing. I got to tell you a story real quick, because it just was making me laugh. But the youngest I've ever taught to was an 8 year old, and she had the voice of like a 28 year old.
Wow.
Like, no, it was one of those freak, like, nature's gifted kids. I was living in LA, and I lived in this really nice apartment complex at the time. It was like staying at a really nice resort hotel. And so I'd been at the pool. They would drive in with her dad and little brother, I think, at the time. From like 2 hours out, come in once, twice a month. So I'd been to the pool, and we're sitting there doing a lesson. She comes in, of course, dad's sitting there, and I'm just warming her up. And I notice like she's looking at me kind of weird, like a face of like not disgust, but like shock, and just like she's kind of mortified. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm just playing. And I realized I'd put on an old tank top to go to the pool. Uh-huh. And I was running. I'd forgotten. I was just like late getting there. And I'm sitting there, and my nipples just completely hanging out with this 8 year old girl. And I'm like, Jason, you should not be allowed to be in this room. I will never forget it.
Man.
At that point, I was like, I should not work with 8 year olds.
That's hilarious. People are
I should always
I'm
dress
scary.
Better. I know.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my gosh. But hey, to the point, what would you say is one of the greatest pieces of advice you can give to an artist to find their true authentic voice?
One of my tenets that I live by as a coach is this phrase: good technique is the gateway to authentic artistry.
Say that again. That's good.
I will. Good technique is the gateway to authenticity, is another way to say that.
Yeah, it's great.
And this is why. And Jason and I have been trained in a very specific technique, a very specific pedagogy of the voice that we both deeply believe in our core is the way to sing.
Yeah.
Like, bar none. And the reason why is partly, I mean, to a very large degree, it transformed our voices
completely.
Individually. Changed the game for me as a singer.
Yes.
My before, if you will, was... I listened to, do you remember Sarah McLachlan?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I Will Remember You was my senior class song.
Oh, wow.
When I graduated high school.
Great song, yep. Great artist. To your point, Shelby and I both had that natural gifting as kids. We grew up singers. So it's not like we needed a coach to teach us how to sing.
Right. We had natural gifting, right?
But when we dove deep with Brett, working on our voices in this new style of coaching that I was unaware of, you might have been aware.
No.
Game change.
Yep.
My confidence went through the roof. My voice grew like never before.
Yeah.
Still have the same issues and little imperfections and flaws, mm-hmm. but I know how to navigate it. I know how to like work around it or work with it. And through that, my confidence changed the game to allow me to be truly authentically me when I step on that stage.
Yeah. And that's the thing is when your technique sucks, okay, you can't be authentic.
You can't.
You cannot. And
you
I will
are
go to
scared,
my grave.
You are a scared singer.
I will go to my grave saying this because if my technique is bad, then I am operating out of a space of limitations and lack. And so my point in saying, bringing up Sarah
Who
Butler,
wakes up every day and says, I want to work, I want to operate in limitations and lack?
No,
I don't
we
think
don't.
Anyone does.
No,
but
we
subconsciously make those decisions daily.
We do. We do. And we don't know what we don't know. And we all have these limitations that we're sometimes very unaware of because I felt like for the longest time, so I sang, I listened to a lot of Sarah McLachlan. I played out that Surfacing record. Like, it had a chokehold on me.
It's a huge record.
Okay? I still love it.
Huge record.
This is a no shade against Sarah McLachlan because she had a very identifiable sound. She had a very unique voice. But I related to it because I had to flip from my chest voice to my head voice very, very obviously in order to sing higher. I could not sing higher with any amount of power or connection. And so my only way to get up there was to flip into a light head voice, maybe a falsetto, to get into these higher notes, which I had range, but I didn't have any power up there. So I listened to a lot of Sarah McLachlan. I mimicked what she did. She used that flip very uniquely. And it was part of her calling card. It was like her sound. And so that's what I would do all the time. Well, it wasn't until many years down the road, even though I wanted to sing high with power like Celine and Whitney, but I couldn't. And
now she can.
Now I can. I met Brett and I watched him coach and he coached me and I freaked out because I was like, I thought that the voice that I had in my own limitations
was all you had.
Was all I had, that this was the hand I was dealt, and I guess I'm just going to learn how to play this hand. I didn't know that there were more cards I could draw from in the deck, and it wasn't until somebody unlocked that in me that I realized, oh my gosh, anybody can do this.
Yeah,
anybody, even somebody who thinks that they're tone deaf, which is a whole nother topic. Nobody's actually really tone deaf, but
less than 0.5% of the population.
Yeah, you got to be like actually deaf to be tone deaf, in my unofficial scientific opinion. So when I realized this, I understood at that moment that I had been creating my own artistry, which had a measure of authenticity, right? I was writing songs. I was trying to do my own thing. I had created some of my own stylizing pieces, but I couldn't be fully authentic because I hadn't fully found my entire voice yet. I was operating out of a tiny amount of what was the ultimate bigger picture, which is still always I'm discovering even still. But I was like, I've created an entire art form and artistry around my lack instead of my ability and my capacity because I didn't know what I was capable of. And that was where authenticity began to change for me. It changed my songwriting. It changed the way I phrased phrases.
Yes, that's huge.
It changed dynamics. It changed everything because I realized that I had a lot more of a deeper well to draw from to create art.
Yeah. And, for me, I think that's where one of the phrases, you've heard me say it before, that I always tell artists, especially before an audition, if they're going, like people I work with in like the film TV space or one of the award shows, but like the competition shows, like The Voice, whatever, is the last piece of advice is to go in and be you.
Right.
With what you have. Because if you're you, you always wins. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're going to get the role.
Yeah.
Necessarily. You're going to get the roles that are meant for you. But that is most true when you are the truest version of you, authentically you. And so in helping people try to uncover and discover that, you said something a minute ago that really stuck with me. In singing, it's the only activity, sport, whatever that I know of where we, as singers, think we always have to be 100%. We can't be wrong. We can't make a mistake. We can't not be cool. It's 100%.
We're all suddenly type A perfectionists.
Yes. No other discipline in life operates at 100%.
Yeah.
In any level, especially thinking it, right? Mm-hmm. A pro football player does not step onto the field thinking they're going to have 100% passage every day.
Yeah.
They don't even think it's possible.
Yeah.
It's like they're striving for that, but they know if they get a little 50, 60, wow, that's a huge day. Mm-hmm. In singing, notoriously, we defeat ourselves by putting the 100% label above us.
Right.
Okay. But that's ego feeding that 100% instead of looking the other way, like you're talking and we're talking today, your authentic self.
That's not a percentage scale.
It's not a percentage.
Yeah.
But if I can go 100% into trying to figure that out, mm-hmm. working on technique, working on style, working on my spiritual component, whatever that is for you out there,
yeah.
All working on the trying to get into the 100 percentile space, we'll never get there, of like my mental capacity. Mm-hmm. Huge thing in today's artistic world. Like we're all kind of like all over the map and yeah. anxieties and everything. This is what we help people try to balance and manage, knowing 100% is not possible.
Yeah.
But how do we get in that space of balancing so I can, again, step into the true authenticity
yeah.
of who I'm meant to be and not allow ego to feed it mm-hmm. and try to self-destruct it?
Yeah.
That's what, to me, we do offer people mm-hmm. and we learn that about ourselves every time we get to do it with someone, which is super cool. I'm reminded yeah. like, okay, Jason, don't be so hard on yourself about this over here.
Yeah.
It's okay that you can't hit that A today.
Yeah.
Because you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
Don't sing an A today.
Yeah. We're also, okay, you know, obsessed with the judgments of other people.
Yes, yes,
for
yes.
sure. But I do feel passionately about creating really good technique in singers, and know mm-hmm. you do too, because
for sure.
I know that that's what's holding a lot of people back from being really authentic. Because, like I said, I believe it's the gateway. To, and a lot of people are afraid to dive into technique because they think it's going to make them less authentic, more robotic, more too perfect,
or
not have
change
that raw
their
edge.
Sound.
Exactly. And which to that
which
I call
ego.
Bluff on, because yeah. you're not going to be able to make the most authentic choices in a song if you don't have the capacity to make the choice.
That's someone thinking they're too cool.
Yeah.
And no one can help them not be.
And we deal with that a lot
cool
with
level.
Artists, especially honestly,
yeah.
high level artists.
100%.
And artists that are really naturally talented are like, oh no, I can't take a lesson. It'll yeah. like mess with this like very, very precious thing I've got going on here. And it's like, no. Ask Kobe, may he rest in peace, if he needed a coach.
Yeah.
Right? Any
yeah.
any
Ask
athlete,
Tiger.
Especially athletes, I think about this all the time. No one would have expected LeBron, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods. Nobody would have expected any of those people to win championships without a coach.
Or coaches.
Coaches. They have lots of them. But artists, it's one of the last prioritized roles for an artist. Or one of the things that is like way after the fact, like we're signed, we have management, we've got, you know, somebody on our team that's for every single thing in our career, like my hair and makeup person, my social media
yeah
person, then it's like an afterthought. And it usually only happens when they're up the creek and they're in trouble
yep,
on the road,
there's a problem,
and they're on tour mm-hmm. and their voice is crapping out, they're yep. like, oh, maybe we should call in a vocal coach. No, man, call us at the beginning
of this
process, because we're going to help you find your most authentic sound. Because then, like, when push comes to shove, is that the
yep,
phrase?
That's right.
When push comes to shove and you're in that moment of, I really wish that I could sing this note like this, but I can't, then you are going to make a lesser choice based on what you can get away with in that moment, mm-hmm. not based on what you truly deeply desire to do. And that's
yes.
what I really want to help people find.
Yeah.
Give you the ability to make whatever choice that you want in that moment, because you can.
Yes. And I feel like I spend a lot of time, you do as well, trying to convince artists, especially ones already making money or close to being at that place of being
yeah.
full-time pro, whatever, convincing them that they can afford me
mm-hmm.
when really my whole thing is
you can't afford
not to have
yep.
one of us on your team.
Yep.
And it's just the craziest thing that Shelby and I are constantly trying to prove our worth. Not that we're wake up every day with the intention to do that. It's just nature of the beast that
yeah.
we have to do that. Aside from all that, our worth is really built in helping each of you find your true authentic voice, whether you sing, speak,
mm-hmm.
make sushi, I don't care what you do, to truly be you. That makes the world more beautiful. It makes relationships at least easier to manage and understand.
Yeah.
And it really starts to get rid of all the gunk and junk and issues that are going to possibly explode down the road. There's going to be explosions, but you approach those situations with a much healthier understanding of how to manage and get through them.
Yeah.
That's incredibly true of the voice.
And it's about others, right? It's about shining your light so others can see it. And I mean, think about sometimes the reason that you're doing what you're doing, whatever industry you're in, but definitely as an artist, is in many ways because you've been inspired by somebody else. Like you saw somebody do it and it lit a fire in you. You were like, I got to do that too. And aren't you glad that you saw that person being their truest self so that you could be inspired to be your truest
self? Nothing better in the world.
And that's like the point of all of this, right? That's why I believe God put us here on this planet so that then we can be a free-flowing vessel to other people and I can inspire somebody else to do the thing that they were put on this planet to do. It's not about ego. It's not about me and what I can accumulate, but about how can I give to other people. And you got to be in a healthy headspace to have that picture of it. And if you're not, then that's where the internal work has got to be done of like, you need to get right. Like, this ain't about you.
No, it's true. It really is, I think, at the base level, suppressing ego to really bring out the truest authentic self.
Yeah.
We could talk about this for days, and we probably will. We're going to address this in many
over
episodes.
And over again.
It's going to keep coming up because it is the
central theme.
Central theme.
Yeah.
It is. And if you guys have, like, tenants, as Shelby likes to use that word, around this topic that you'd like us to speak on, let us know. We'll definitely address those in future podcasts. But this has been awesome. Yeah. I could talk authenticity until I'm blue in the face.
Yeah. Next time we'll have to share some specific stories.
Yes.
Some stage performances that we've had.
We shall. We have so much
with
to uncover.
With us and the artists that we've worked with.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today on this authentic version of the Vocal Lab podcast.
Indeed. Jason, where can the people find us?
They can find us on all the spaces and all the places where you stream podcasts.
Yep.
YouTube as well.
And then on social media, we're on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll have all those linked.
Yep.
You'll be able to find us.
The Vocal Lab.
Please do find us and let us know what you think. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby. See you later.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the Vocal Lab podcast. Ready to join the top ranks of the music industry? Don't forget to follow and subscribe for more first-class conversations that make the extraordinary your new ordinary. Until next time, keep striving for your top note.